Songs in the Night, Part 2. We are at our the second point, the three thoughts that was given. Shouldn't we look to God in times of affliction? Verse 9 to 11. And surely we will find help in Him, verse 12 to 13. And today we will move forward further to the end of the chapter. Are we looking to Him? Shouldn't we look to God in times of affliction? Well, sometimes we run away from our duties. We run away from our responsibilities. We are not at the place of our God's choice for us. Rather, we are at some place else, and it doesn't serve the purpose of God to further the we would say the cause of the well-being of His people. And therefore, when Elihu speaks, he speaks to us to, in order that we may understand, he was referring to Job in his distress. And here in verse 12 and 13, it is the cry that is given there, surely God will help. When the people of God cry to Him, will God not help? Of course God will help. But if we are crying to Him in a, well, not in a sincere way, calling upon God, rather, verse 12 and 13 says, there they cry, but none giveth answer, because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it. They are proud and unhumbled in their afflictions. Yeah, we can say that, yeah, we are under afflictions, we are full of misery, and yet we may, right, in our misery, continue to do what we ought not to do. Well, that is sad, which were sent to mortify them and to hide pride from them. And yet, you see that this did not give the desired effect. There they cry, they lie, exclaiming against their oppressors, and filling the ears of all about them with their complaints, not sparing to reflect upon God Himself and His providence. Well, this morning we were speaking concerning the family life, how important it is that besides the personal defilement that affects the individual in the nation of Israel, there is also the defilement of interpersonal relationships, cheating one another. And then there is the familial relationship between the husband and the wife. All three you'd find are important in order to bring peace and harmony in the land of Israel. And before they even set off, God had to lay the groundwork. God had to set all these things in order. Because if these things are not in order, you would find that there will not be ultimately peace. Peace in the nation, peace in Israel, peace in the church. Well, here the Lord speaks, and He is seeking to provide us understanding so that our life indeed will be that of the godly man, by which in our afflictions, though we may be cast down, though we may feel ourselves in the dire straits, and yet we are clinging on to God. Yet we are keeping close to God. Yet we are not giving excuse for ourselves. Instead of solving our problems and bravely facing them, well, the Lord speaks to us and He tells us how important it is that the people of God need to find strength in Him. And real strength in Him comes when we are willing to truly humble ourselves and do the right things. Do the right thing. And here, the pride of man makes him rebellious and is disposed to complain of God. Disposed to complain of all the people and all the other people concerning how they have afflicted them. And yet, not themselves. Not to look upon themselves. Well, God wants us to look at ourselves. Could we have been the culprit? Could we have been the one that has been rebellious? Well, the Lord speaks to us, and Elihu was sent of God to speak to Job in his affliction. And here, Barnes observed well. He says, "The pride of the heart, even in affliction, is the true reason with multitudes why they do not appeal to God, why they do not pray. They value themselves on their independence of spirit. Independence of spirit. I don't want God's order for my family, for myself, for my church life, but I prefer my own way." An independent spirit. They have accustomed to rely on their own resources. And it's sad. They are unwilling to recognize their dependence on any being whatsoever. Even in their trials, their heart is too far away from God to acknowledge Him. They will not be ashamed to be known to do what they regard as a weak thing. Well, to simply look to God. Simply cry out to God. And simply pray to God. Hence, they complain in their afflictions. They linger on in their sufferings without consolation. And then die without hope. How long? How long are we going to suffer in this way? Why should we suffer in this way? It pains the heart to see, right, such sufferings. Well, oftentimes we say self-inflicted. Many of the afflicted have no peace, no consolation in their trials, no songs in the night. It is sad. How sad it is for men to reject God in their destruction. And it's sad to see the gospel of life rejected and a man struggling in vain with sickness that will eventually lead to eternal death. You see a person rejecting God, refusing, and it pains the heart to see this ebbing away, this moving away, and yet we see the hardness of man's heart. Elihu attributed it to pride, the oldest sin and most destructive to the soul. How sad it is. How sad it is. They are not sincere, upright, inward with God. Their supplications with God, therefore, Matthew Henry says, He does not hear and answer them. God will not hear vanity. That is hypocritical prayer. We are not at the place of obedience, rather at the place of disobedience. It's sad, isn't it? You may be in the prayer meeting. You may be doing the things of God, and yet, this is not the will of God. How contradicting. Well, here, it is vanity to think that God should hear it. And he searches the heart and requires truth in the inward part. And so we said, surely we will find help in him. Surely we will find help in him. Of course we will find help in him when we go to him. But the Lord wants us to do so in a way that would benefit us, truly benefit us, you see. And what is true benefit? It must be according to the word of God, dear friends. It must be according to the word of God, according to the covenant of God, to the stipulations of God. And sometimes it takes time for us to realize it, for us to understand it. It is understandable. We take time to come to the truth. God gives us time. But if we have known it, then let us be hastened, right, to do the will of God. And we pray that the Lord will certainly provide us songs in the night. In other words, God provided us with a solution and we would be willing to step in and find the victory that God has prepared for us. God has planned for us. And at the end, this is the contradiction. And yet, we see that we'll rather not take stock. And so it becomes a very aimless, untargeted life. Here and there, here and there, here and there, nothing is accomplished. Are we looking to him? Verses 14 to 16. Although thou sayest, thou shalt not see him, yet judgment is before him. Therefore, trust thou in him. But now, because it is not so, he hath visited in his anger, yet he knoweth it not in great extremity. Therefore doth Job open his mouth in vain. He multiplieth words without knowledge. Elihu is not saying there are no people on earth, Christopher Asht said insightfully, who cry out in pain. As we see, I think last week we spoke about the widow who was in trouble, and Jesus spoke about how she was persistent in her prayer, would not let go, right? Continue to plead with the unjust judge so that the judge would mete out at least something to relieve her distress. Well, the story is this, that our God is a good God. He will do the right thing for us. And here, the Lord says, there are people, many people, whose cry is not a prayer. The point of this becomes evident in verse 14 and 16. And here, Elihu speaks to Job. God has complained that he cannot see. Job has complained that he cannot see God, that his case is before God. He's just waiting and waiting for God to hear his case. Well, I think we need to learn that God is there in our affliction. In fact, he's speaking to us in our pain. It is in our pain that God is manifesting to us, proclaiming to us a message. And Elihu sought to show us. He's perplexed that God does not punish evildoers and seems not to notice transgression. But his problem is that his talk about God is empty, just like the empty cry of people described in verse 9 to 13, which we have seen. And Elihu described Job as speaking words without knowledge. So, what is Elihu saying here concerning Job? He's telling Job that as long as he keeps saying this outrageous and impious thing about God, he cannot expect God to answer him. So oftentimes, this is the case, and you know, in our afflictions, we are not resting in God. We are not resting in Him. We are fidgeting. And you can see that in the affliction that Job was going through, God allowed him. And it's for our learning, so that we may, in our affliction, gain the victory. Have the victory. Understand and have the strength from God to subsist in our pain. God will not answer his cries any more than he can expect to answer the cries of other sufferers who do not cry to him from faith. Not out of faith. All that we do must be in faith. Anything that is not in faith is sin. And Elihu is, as it were, Christopher Ash rightly says, giving Job the wounds of a faithful friend. You don't like to hear not so nice things. And sometimes it is difficult for one to express not so nice things. But it is necessary. Right? That is what Elihu is saying here. He's telling Job he needs to hear. Although he speaks in a rough and uncompromising way, he's doing Job far more good than the group of the other friends who came and insulted him and simply accused him. He's challenging head on our natural and instinctive but sinful expectation. It's as if God owes it to us, you know, to answer us, to make things well our way. Right? But our painful cries, cry in tantrum, does it reach up to God? No. God is right there beyond the reach of our unjust, I would say, even inordinate appeals. And here the Lord is speaking to us and saying that God does listen to us. But he listens to those who would seek him and who do his will, and they will gain from him. Not otherwise. For the people of God suffering in a trial, let us go to him and look to him and seek him in faith according to his word. So it takes time to realize. But as we dwell in the word of God, as we do our devotions, as we take time to speak, listen to God and his word, you find that the Lord will inevitably show us the way, the good way, the path by which we are able to find solace and true help. Then let us be willing to walk that way. Let us be willing to follow him, and let us be willing to receive out of him the expected end that he has for us. May the Lord help us. May his comfort be upon the hearts of his people. Amen.